Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. And while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Can you sing that with me? Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? While on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Let me at the throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, oh, help my unbelief. Sing that with me now. Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Can be seated. Well, it's been like springtime. I'd ask the Lord to give us a good winter this time, just warm things up. I said, it's been rough, Lord, with some of the brethren. And you know it's been rough with them. And they kind of went into the winter season. Whereas it had been rough on them. And I sure wish you'd give them a warm winter. And he did. Thus far, we're right in the middle of the winter. And here we are, having springtime weather. So you can be seated. I think that's marvelous. I may have some more cold weather, but still, I'm just thinking that it's still beautiful weather. Beautiful weather. So, I think everything's comfortable in here as far as I can tell. I got most of the heat up here. They've not been able to put all the units in so far, so the units that they have put in is up here. A couple of units, and it makes it real nice up here. Max said he was kind of surprised because he comes in, he just has to throw a little heat in, even when it was kind of cool back there. And they're supposed to put in some more right soon. They're going to work on them and see if they can't make it comfortable for you. Well, it's a pleasure to come to the house of the Lord. People around the world are concerned about their eternal destiny. It's like I was telling somebody a few days ago. I said, if you don't have eternal life, you don't have anything. Since everybody's on death row and just waiting their time, I said, it doesn't matter what you accumulate, you're going to lose it. And you just don't, the flesh profiteth nothing, you don't have anything. But people who are wise, like the wise men of old that followed the star to where Jesus was, the people that are wise today will follow the gospel to the place of its origin or wherever the water's coming from, as to the fountain. And the thirsty will come. And the Bible says, let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. The rich man in hell just wanted just enough to cool his parching tongue. And I'm sure what he really wanted was the waters of life. And we're made to know this thirst by natural thirst. And God, who is a spirit, has to deal with us after natural sources. And he has to use natural illustrations to get over his spiritual tutoring. And that means that he had to use that as to the rich man in hell. The natural flames and the natural torches. Well, St. John, the first chapter, in the beginning was the Word. I just want to go to that a little bit tonight, make a reference to a few things. We've been talking to you about the Word. And in the beginning, we had been talking to you about the beginning. On a Wednesday night, I let Brother Taylor minister. I was coming on to church and something moved and I felt that I should stay home. And then it proved out in what I understood that that was the right thing, that I had done the right thing in it. So I try to be led of the Spirit as much as I know how to be led of the Spirit. The Bible teaches they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And sometimes God will leave the 99 safe within the fold to go to look for the stray. And so then it proved out real well for us. But we're back together tonight, and I'm back to try to talk with you a little bit about God's Word. And speaking of the Word tonight, let's just remember this in our little teachings, that in the beginning is the Word. It doesn't matter what your situation is. In the beginning is the Word. To acknowledge the Word or the Lord in all of your ways, and He shall direct your path. And if you don't acknowledge the Word in the beginning of your situation, then you're not going to settle the situation. But in any case where you acknowledge the Word, He will always work it out. First of all, I'd like to say that Brother Silas from Uganda is supposed to come in. I believe it's this coming Monday. The liturgy of the message going into the different parts of the world struck Uganda. And we've had a good response from that area as well as many other areas. And so somebody's coming in to visit with us from Uganda. And also we received a telephone call maybe yesterday from a brother over in Jamaica. And this brother says, Brother Pike, my name is Tough, Brother Tough. And said, I received some of your literature or tape. One must have been one of a tape also, if it was literature with it, because I remember you had reference to a tape. But he said that we heard a tape and said the anointing was so wonderful, he said, and so moved us that we had to get in touch with you. He said, it so moved our people. He said, he was preaching somewhere. And he said, and this message, a word that you're preaching, he said, it has completely revolutionized my entire life. And he said, I live here in Jamaica. I'm a pastor. Said, I have several churches. And said, I'm on the radio 7 times a week. Said, I'm using your message and getting a great response. And said, the message has been so powerful. We had a couple in our church A man and a wife just couldn't get along, said they just couldn't get along, and they heard your tape one time and said they're one of the sweetest couples we got. He said, it is doing wonders. That was the terms he used. It's doing wonders here in Jamaica. And he said, I think he said he taught at a college or something over in that area. But he said, I'm a journalist. I work for a newspaper. Still pastor. And said, I have these churches. And said, I and the brethren, said, we also have an orphanage here that the state is wanting to take over. But we haven't let them have it. And he said, as he went on talking about the different things and what God had done for him and how much this meant to him, he said, we was wondering if you would oversight. He said, our brethren have got together and decided that they wanted you to be the overseer of our operation. And I talked to him quite a bit, and he was desirous to have someone to come over here and communicate with you, or maybe he might get to come over. But letters like the one we read the other night from the Philippines and telephone calls like from the brother out of Jamaica and Bill from out of Kenya sent us a fax. And Bill said to give the brethren his regards. He said, tell them that they were ever so nice to me. And he wanted them to know how much he appreciated it. And Bill is a renowned figure in the areas of Kenya. His wife works there at the bank, and there's some, he is in some kind of management, in some kind of operation over there that's outstanding. And he said, we have some things set up for Rwanda. We've got some things in line for Rwanda, and we can get food, clothing, whatever, et cetera, into Rwanda. Said, I'm planning to do a little traveling myself. And said, I just wanted to let you know that we have everything pretty well in line. And on the letters come in from the different parts of the world. And gratitude for what you're doing. And they're working good on the home front. The different ones, especially down in the printing department, are working together real good. They've proven the press that the covenant gave them, and they have produced some of the finest print we've ever had. Picture work, print, and yesterday, I believe it was, they proved the registration on it by the color. They put color on, and it turned out excellent as to the registration. And it produces, they can produce about 8,000 an hour with it. So I think they've just finished up the Book of Ruth, and maybe they're fixing to put some covers on. I'd bought 50,000 sheets of paper for it. Prints about 16 pages of our regular booklet at one sheet. And then today I got another 40. I got a deal on some paper, some gloss paper, and it was book cover. And I got it for less than half price, so we bought about 40 more thousand sheets of paper. Everything's going real well with the printing. The Lord has blessed us. In the network I mentioned the other night, of Brother Deagle's, especially Brother Deagle's efforts in it. And then there's others that work with him, Brother Collins and the different ones, and Brother Ron Clyde. And they have scored a great victory in that end of it. And we've had response from around the world. I believe there's 40 responses came out of just Australia alone. We've gotten into Australia before with our literature, but this was about 40 direct contacts. And God is still blessing in everything that we've set our hands to. He said that wherever you set your foot, I will give it to you, and I will bless you in all that thou settest thine hand unto. He said, for whatever you do shall prosper. And if you delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. So then back to the Word, speaking of the Word, all these things appertaineth to the Word. And speaking of the Word, this is what's causing those people to be stirred. We received a letter from down in Florida from a chaplain there at a prison, and they said that they welcome our literature. We could send as much as we wanted from the way that they talk, and also they welcome us to come down to meetings or councils or whatever they were having. Which reminds me, the man in Jamaica said, Brother Pike, we're actively engaged in prison ministry, and I'm supposed to go to Canada to some kind of conference that they're holding in Canada concerning these things. So there are people all around the world that are interested in the gospel, and they're interested in their souls. And here on the home front, there's quite a number reviving. We ordered another order. This is our first order since we stopped on the building that's back of the multipurpose building. That is of timber and of those things that we need for the finishing up of the building. We ordered about $1,600 worth of stuff today. That'll be in Monday. So they'll start back on your school building Monday, and we intend to press through, if the Lord will help us, till we are through with it, or at least with the superstructure, including the top. So you pray, offer your services and assistance, and pray so that the children will have better facilities this coming year. And you'll have, well, of course, that adds to your wealth, too, because the building will be worth many hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you just pray that we'll be able to continue to do what we can. All right, now, I want to go back to the words here and talk with you for just a few minutes, and I'll try not to keep you long. When we speak about the Word of God and the power of the Word of God. Now, number one, the first mistake that we make is not acting on the Word of God. That's the first thing. When we act on the Word of God, then we get the benefit of the Word of God. And whatever avenue of life that we take, then the Word of God will work with us accordingly. I've taken many avenues of life in my lifetime concerning the Word and concerning faith. And it doesn't matter what direction I go in, the Word will work with me. The Lord will, He will give unto you according to your faith. You know, when we say according to your faith, according to your believing, this is what makes the Word of God so beautiful and so beneficial. Jesus simply said, according to your believing, according to your conviction, according to what you will claim, according to the way that you've heard my word, He said, take heed how that you've heard my word. He said, listen careful to those things that are being said to you, lest at any time you should let them slip. Take heed how that you hear this word. And remember that this word is not the word of the preacher. This is not the word of the deacon or somebody that is a philosopher. But this is the word of Almighty God. And when the ministry is speaking, that it is not the minister that speaketh, but it is the word. And it is the word that is speaking because the minister is dead. He's buried and he's gone. And he is no more as a human being in his first birth. Now we're talking about the Word. So when it comes to the Word, I say to you, then are you now living? Or is it Christ that liveth? Are ye now dead to the things of the world? Or are ye yet alive to the things of the world? Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm dead to the things of the world. Then why are ye so active in the things of the world? And the Bible said if you have the love of the world in you, the love of the Father isn't there. Somebody says, but I don't sin, Brother Pike. But it didn't say that. It said if you have the love of the world in you. It didn't say anything about sinning there. It said if you have the love of the world in you, then the love of God isn't in you. So that means if you have the love and desire to do the things of the world and to be entertained by the world or to have the goods of the world, he said, I'm not in you. My spirit is not in you because the world and all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. It's the filth of the flesh, the Bible said, and God has nothing to do with it. And he's not even the God of it. Lucifer is the God of this present system called the world. So he said, the world and all therein shall utterly pass away. And if you have a desire for it on the inside, then you've never been born again. The Spirit, as to the Word, has never come into your heart. For the Bible said the Word of God is perfect. It converteth the soul. And your soul has never been converted from the desires to the human desire of the things of the world that caused Adam to fall. It has never been converted from that nature to the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, which abhorred the things of the world and that would have nothing to do with anything in the world at any time. So then, to follow in his steps, to cast down imagination, to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word which is perfect, converting the soul. So, when we think about the Word of God, how powerful it is. What is the Word of God? The Bible said he esteems his Word above his name. And I thought, Lord, how could that be? Surely you could not esteem the Word above your name. But then the question arose in my heart, who is the greater, the person or his name? And I thought, well, the person. Then he said, I am the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And I esteem my Word above my name. My Word is spirit and it is life. That is me. And the Word was made flesh. God made himself become a human form or human body. And then dwelt among us, and we beheld that body as of the only begotten of the Father, full of glory, full of truth, full of light. So then the Word to me is whatever I believe it to be. Jesus would simply say, according to your believing. And they would say, well, Lord, you could make me whole if you would. He said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said, yes. He said, according to your believing, according to your faith. Or that is, he was the Word, and he was made a human embodiment. He was made flesh, and the Word was there. And when they saw the Word, and they communicated with the Word, and they said to the Word, they said to the Word, O Word of God, thou canst make me whole, if you will. And the Word said, I would that you be made whole. And then the Word would say, faith cometh by the hearing of me, the Word. And whatever I express, that's what you must believe. And if you believe that, then you can have that. And if you don't believe that, then you have an evil heart of unbelief, and the judgments of God resteth upon you. Because there is no sanctification without faith, and there is no faith without the Word. So there's no purifying of the heart without faith, and without a purification as to confidence in the Word, of what that Word did for you and a human body, as it atoned for your sins at Calvary, then your sins remaineth. And you are unclean in the sight of God, and the judgments toward the consumption of a fiery indignation from God will eventually devour you. So the Word is to me whatever I want it to be. I must learn to believe the Word. The first mistake that one makes is not acknowledging the Word. In the beginning, in all of their problems or circumstances of life, they don't acknowledge the Word. The first thing they acknowledge is their human reasoning, their thoughts, their impulses, their reflex. Whatever it is about them, as to Satan being in the world and working through the human senses, and thus by the means of that interwoven with their very blood cells, then that means that they act upon impulse and desire. Human ego, fears and frustration and anxieties and pressures motivate them and drive them and cause them to use their life up, and the leeches and the parasites take their life away from them. So when we come to the Word of God and we begin to believe the Word of God, the shield of faith begins to arise. When the shield of faith arises, then the fiery darts of the devil begins to be quenched. All of a sudden, they stop. He freezes up. He can't go any farther. He's at a standstill. The Bible said, cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward. And it said, taking the shield of faith, that you might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So then, as quick as the shield of faith goes up, which means confidence in the word, Lucifer stops. He cannot go any farther. The word sends him on his way. Jesus, being the embodiment of the word, he stood and listened to Satan quote the word. And he listened very carefully. He never disputed it. He only said, it is also written. And when Satan had said all he wanted to hear, he just said, get the hint, Satan. The word said, get the hint, Satan. And away he went. For the Bible said he sent his word and healed them. And by his word, he cast out the unclean spirits. By his word, he said, let there be. And the world came into existence. And his word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same to a thousand generations, unaltered and unchanged, and it's settled in heaven. And ever how I believe it, ever how I apply my faith to it, then it works exactly that way. So then Jesus would continue to say, according to thy faith. In some places, he would talk to the people, and he couldn't get them to believe. And the Bible said many mighty works he could not do because of their unbelief. He was the power of God. He had power over all flesh. He was standing there willing and ready the same yesterday, today, and forever to every person that he met. And yet one would receive his sight over here, another did not receive the sight. One would receive deliverance over here, another would not receive the deliverance. See, and here, when the little woman came pressing on him, she had spent all of her living on the physicians, was none the better, rather grew worse. He did not condemn the physicians nor any aid that they could give. But this woman's case was she was worse off when she went and she had spent all of her living. And not only that, but the Bible said she had suffered many things at the hands of the physicians. And then when she got close to him, you would have said, well, this little woman is certainly an unbeliever. She has not had enough faith to follow God. But nevertheless, out of all of them that pressed in and touched Jesus, she was the one that had faith. And when it was asked of him, who touched me? Or he asked of them. And it was said of them, many people are touching thee. How then sayest thou who touched me? But he knew that this touch was different. This woman, not supposed to be in the crowd, she was unclean, not supposing to get near Jesus, but she did. And here, purposing in her heart that if she could but touch, as we say, the hem of his garment, that she would be made whole. And she touched the hem of his garment, and suddenly she felt within her body the issue of blood had stopped and that she was healed. And she came trembling and fell down at his feet when he said, who touched me? And he said, woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. According to your faith, according to your believing, why didn't the others get healed around him? Or why did not they receive the benefit of the word? It is because they didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. The way that he gave it, they didn't believe it. He had been healing others everywhere. The Lord is the same today, yesterday, forever. He heals me the way I choose to be healed. He works with me and my faith the way I choose to go. He works with you and according to your faith, according to your believing. Your life as a success in the world in any direction is according to your believing. According to your frame of mind, according to your speculations as to whatever you come up with as to your believing. And when you go to believe, that's exactly the way he works with you. So then, according to your word, the power of the word is hasn't changed one iota. Not one tiny bit has it changed. It is altogether the same. And it's so simple to hear him call and to believe. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, why do we not then get our healing? Someone says, I know I believe, but I didn't get my healing. Why did I not get my healing? The Bible said that Abraham was strong in faith. giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And the reason that we don't get our answer is because we are not strong in faith in whatever we pursue. We're not strong in that area. It isn't like God has denied us. It isn't that he won't do it for us. It isn't that we're more unrighteous than someone else. All flesh has corrupted its way before God. You cannot judge the situation by saying, well, that person died because they had no faith in God. That doesn't make any sense. What does that have to do with it? So you can't say, well, that person's sick and they don't have any faith with God. Look at the little woman. See, what does that have to do with it? That's the kind of people that he's looking for, is those that are sick. How can you or those that are well offer any faith toward God as to God healing you? You don't need a healing. So these are the ones that offer faith. He is searching for the underprivileged. Someone would say, but look at the terrible sin of that person because of what has happened to them. But that's not right. When it was asked of Jesus, who sinned, this person or the parents? He said, neither. This is for the glory of God. So then someone would say, well, then, Brother Pike, sickness doesn't come from sin. Indeed, it does come from sin. There was no sickness till sin come. There was no death until sin come. There was no poverty until sin come. And all of it is caused by sin. So then, whose sins? Whose sins? It's like the Bible said, Adam sinned. And people from Adam to Moses, death reigned over them, and yet they had never sinned after the similitude of Adam, but death still took them. So then you have to understand the scriptures, and you have to understand what the Lord is trying to tell you. The thing that we do remember that brings it down to a simplicity is that you don't have to get your mind complicated. All you have to do is believe. Jesus made it so simple. The works was finished from the foundation of the world. They said, what must we do to work the works of God? I am the works of God. And my, if you had time to go into these things, I always long to have the time to go into just one little subject when I'm up here, to where I could clarify it, to where it would be settled in the heart, or even go out on tape to where the people could get it. Around the world, people make such a fuss over this message, and yet they just get little fragmental bits of it. And I think, Lord, what it would be like just to have one message in simplicity to get to the people of the world, to try to explain to them just one little thing to where they could absorb it like the puzzle put together. What would it do for them? Like the man that wrote out of the Philippines, and he praised the message so greatly, being persecuted by the Muslims and others, said he'd been a preacher. He knew the Lord. He said, but Brother Pike, we've never known how to serve him until we've received this message. And began to praise God for it. And it was amazing. He said, I don't see how we could have been so blind and not have seen these wonderful truths. So then we can sit under this and we can hear. And yet, like Paul, who preached to those that were not foreordained unto eternal life, they never did believe. Their eyes never were opened. The Bible said the eyes of the wicked, they're blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch, that they never at any time see this wonderful light. And though they hear it, they have such a discrepancy of heart and mind, till never at any time does their spirit ever translate into this wonderful light to become one with God. So then this light that shines at Calvary, the veil was rent. The true light now shining. Though this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was, it was never brought to light. It was never given to mankind as to light
until the veil was rent at Calvary and the perfect seed come. And then when he was resurrected from the dead, the true light was thus shining. Though before he went to Calvary, he said, now the true light shineth, in that he said, I am the light of the world. Now I go away. He said, now ye are the light of the world, and ye are the true light, that it might shine, whatever your measure is of the word and whatever you've submitted to has to make this manifest in your mortal being. So then are you the light of the world. And all of the world will come to the brightness of your shining. So then this wonderful light, this wonderful truth, it's here. And today it is shining around the world. Not very many people are receiving it. Not very many people are understanding it. But everybody is walking in this wonderful light to the extent that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the atonement for sins, took away the sins of all the world. And God has poured his grace or rain upon the tare as well as the wheat. And the light is shining all over the world to the extent of this dispensational grace. But there's something about this grace unto salvation that has appeared unto all men, teaching them that they, denying worldly lust, should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. There's something about it that on the inside this fountain flows, and this light radiates from the inside, and it's such a marvelous light that it just causes demon powers just to dissipate as darkness. So the word of God. Now, I don't feel much hunger out here tonight. I feel a reverence tonight and feel a little bit of hunger in the audience. So we won't go very far with it. But a few little things are taken here and there. But when it comes to the word, it is the most beautiful thing that has ever been given. It's the most beautiful story that was ever told, the most beautiful song that has ever been sang. It is my heart, it is my life, it is my desire. Everything that I live for is the word. To me, to be the word, to be one with the word, to be one with the word is to be eternal. To be one with the word is to be a God. To be one with the word is to be his very bone, his very flesh, and his very body. And to understand the word, it is a tree of life, that you might continue to live forever. For to understand the word is to believe the word, and to believe the word is to continue in life. Enoch was translated by faith of the word, the heavens declaring his handiwork of the word, then he never saw death. He was translated and bypassed the grave. Whereas the Bible teaches this is what God's wanting for us, and Paul brings it back to reference in the New Testament, that Enoch did not have a funeral, that it's not necessary to have funerals. It's not necessary if we come to the understanding of the word, if we come on to faith. He emphasized faith and the great mighty things that faith hath done. He did this in the book of Hebrew, and he brought out this thing concerning Enoch, of how powerful this wonderful thing is. Walking with God for 300 years and he was not, for God took him. And though the days has been minimized, and though God has cut down the days because of our disobedience, our days have been shortened from, we say, 900 to 1,000 years, right on down to 70 years, as it would say, 70 and some living longer by reason of strength. But other than that, you know, God is still God. The word is still the word. Faith is still faith. And we that believe on God have passed from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. And tonight, if we just had just a little bit of hunger tonight, we would have said a few things here that had some depths to it a little more. But since I can't find that tonight, we're not going to try to hold you. But I'm thankful because no matter how anybody feels about the word, no matter how they think about the word or the ministry or whatever, the thing is, this is an individual affair, and I have the benefit of it, and I have the benefit of this wonderful knowledge of God that has so filled my soul till hundreds of thousands of things are inside of my breast and inside of my heart, and I'm thankful. And what I can share with you, it'd just be a few crumbs here and there, what little is according to your hungry. Jesus said, according to your believing. So if you come to church believing, you're going to get a little exhortation. Then you get a little exhortation. If you look at the preacher to believe, well, he ain't got much to say tonight. Then you won't get much. Have you come to church with the believing, well, my mind's on this and my mind's on that, and I'm tired and I'm weary from the day, then that's all you get. But when you come to church with an expectation, the Bible said he that cometh to God must first of all believe that God is, or believe there is a God, and believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And when we come in this manner to church, then we come to God's house, come with great expectation, saying, God will be there tonight. Then we get something from God. Whereas someone would say, well, Brother Pike, it's just kind of an off night, Friday night, there's not as many folks, and it's just kind of an off night, you know, and these weekly days when we do come. But there is no off nights with God. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's in the midst of them. And the Bible teaches that we come here in the name of the Lord to minister, and it's not us speaking but God. And if you do not believe that, I wouldn't come on these off nights. I wouldn't come. I'd wait till them on nights. And that's the nights that I would come here. But if God is always on the job, and though Brother Pike might miss a service, God didn't miss the service. And though you might miss a service, God didn't miss the service. See, this is his house. This is where he dwelt. This is his dwelling place. And the earth and the fullness thereof is God's place of dwelling. So then, when we come here, you get exactly what you expect. Little Bethlehem is exactly what we believe. Just what we believe. What we make it as believers, that's what it is. God's power is here just as we believe it. God's strength is just as we believe it. God's righteousness is just as we believe it. And whatever it is, we can see it through the daily activities of people that come in and out Bethlehem. For the Bible said the child is known by his doings. And so then, ever how you act, that's what you are. As a man thinketh within his heart, so he is. And I think within my heart on God and on the Word and on his riches and on his glory and on the heavenly things. And I dwell in heaven. I am one of them that dwell in heaven. The Bible said, will they that dwell in heaven. I ask the question tonight, where do you dwell? Where is your dwelling place? Someone would say, well, I dwell in heaven, Brother Pike. Then why is it that your deeds are like they are? They obviously show an earthly habitation and an earthly desire and an earthly activation. And if you dwell in the mind of Christ, which is heaven, why does it not show the nature of Christ, the desire of Christ, the ambition of Christ, the hunger and thirst of Christ, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and following in his steps to always, day and night, to want to meditate in his laws and to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus toward the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. So, we are they that dwell in heaven. This is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan, the old carnal mind. I've crossed over Jordan into Canaan's fair land. And this is like heaven to me. All right, while they come back to the music, we're going to let that be it for tonight. I had a few more things to say, but rather than bothering you, sometimes I just don't come and let somebody else speak to you. To give you a chance to be refreshed in the way you feel and see a new face and hear a new sound, and then maybe I'll be back another time and talk with you. But it's good to be here with you and fellowship with you and talk to you. Many of you are my children in the Lord, and it's not only my desire to feed you, but my responsibility and duty. The Bible said if one will not provide for his household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel, even in the natural. How much more in the spirit, the Bible said, we that are parents lay up for the children, first making provisions for the house of God, seeking the kingdom first, his righteousness, and all these other things are then added unto us.
So tonight, it's another pleasure of mine just to be here with you. It's always a pleasure to come into the house of the Lord. Let's just stand together tonight while they're coming back to the instruments. Let's shout early, and then that way you can do whatever you like. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Can you sing it? Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. For I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and I'm shouting the victory. You're not doing much shouting tonight, are you? I'm shouting the victory. Let me hear you shout. I'm shouting the victory. I've crossed over Jordan, Canaan's fair land, and this is like, one more time, we'll sing it together. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. For we've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. All right, as we sing these little courses, the altars are open as always. And we've had our few minutes together to think on the things of God, and perhaps you'll go on your way thinking on the Lord and continue in the beautiful, beautiful ways of God. Perhaps not, but by His help I will, because it's so rich, and this is like heaven to me. Folks, this is more than like heaven to me. I appreciate the views of the songwriter. I think it's so inspiring. But this is more than like heaven to me. This is heaven to me. And it's not like I am going to cross over Jordan to get to Canaan's land. I crossed over Jordan at Calvary through Christ, and today I am one of them that dwell in heaven. And we're rejoicing in the things of God. And the Bible said, he that dwelleth in heaven, let him rejoice forevermore. So I'm rejoicing forevermore, night and day. This is in my soul, and I'm rejoicing in God in every day of my life. I'm seeking opportunity to gather the jewels of earth and to lay up treasures in heaven. My whole drive and thrust, hunger and thirst, is to do something for God, to love the Lord. It's not tiring to me. It's not wearisome to me. I never get tired of doing it. I never grow weary of doing it. The Bible said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. And I never grow weary and tired of it, no matter what the conditions are. Sometimes I grow weary and tired, but never weary and tired in the things of God, or doing the wonderful things that God has set in my life to be done. So this is more than like heaven to me. This is heaven to me. I'm only human. I'm just a man. Help me to be all I can be and do the best that I can. Show me the pathway that I must climb. And so for my sake, Lord, help me to take one day at a time. Sing that with me. One day at a time, sweet Jesus,
That's all that I'm asking of you. To give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. For yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be by. So for my sake, Lord, help me to take one day at a time. If you remember when you walked among men, dear Lord, you know if you're looking below, it's worse now than then. There's pushing and shoving, and it's crowding my mind. So for my sake, Lord, help me to take one day at a time. Sing it with me. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all that I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. For yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. So for my sake, Lord, help me to take one day. Sing that chorus again. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all that I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. For yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. So for my sake, Lord, help me to take one day at a time. There will be a happy meeting in heaven, I know. When we meet how many loved ones that we've known here below. Gathered on the blessed hilltops with hearts all the glow, that will be a glad reunion day. Sing that with me. Glad day, a glorious day. Glad day, oh, a wonderful day. There on the blessed hilltop, faces glow. That will be a glad reunion day. When we live a million years in that wonderful place, basking in the love of Jesus, beholding his face, it will seem but just a moment of sharing his grace. That will be a glad reunion day. Sing it with me. Glad day, glorious day. Glad day, what a wonderful day. Gathered on the blessed hilltops with hearts all aglow. That will be a glad review. Sing that chorus again. Glad day, what a wonderful day. Glad day, a glorious day. Gathered on the blessed hilltop with hearts all aglow. That will be a glad reunion day. Let's just lift our hands up together. I trust tonight that some little something was said that might inspire you. We didn't even get started in the message. We just said a few little things approaching it. But I trust that it did something for you. At least it was in service. Had a chance to kind of renew your feelings, your thoughts, and your desires toward God, your zeal. And this is what's important. As we lift our hands up together and close our eyes tonight, ask yourself this question. Lord, am I doing anything for you? And don't make any plans to do anything for God. Don't say, Lord, I'm going to make some plans tonight. God, this very night, I'm a purpose in my heart. Don't do that. But do this. Lord, if I'm not doing anything for you, I'm starting right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. And start it right then and there. Plant a little seedling and open up that heart. And like the little song says, open up your heart and let the sun shine in. And when you do, it'll shine in. I can assure you that it will shine in. So tonight, as we sing a little chorus, then let's just worship the Lord for a few minutes, and we'll let you go home. Is that all right? I read in the Bible where God so loved the sinners, gave his son to die in their place. And he gave his life on the cruel cross of Calvary. Thank God for the marvelous. Thank God there's a bridge over the river someday. Gonna see his sweet face with him. Gonna abide there forever. Thank God for his marvelous grace. I read where he said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare you a place. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, you walk. God for the marvelous grace. Thank God, there's a bridge over that river. Someday I'm gonna see his sweet face with him. Gonna abide there forever. Thank God for his marvel. One more time. Thank God, there's a bridge over the river. Someday, gonna see his sweet face with him. Gonna abide there forever. Thank God. Can you sing it one more time? I read where he said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare you a place. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, pure walls of jasper. Thank God for is marvelous. Sing with me and give him a wave offering. Thank God. Can you give him a wave offering? Rejoice the river. Someday I'm going to see his sweet face. With him, going to abide there forever. One more time together. Thank God. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. That day is getting closer and closer and closer. The eyes of the world is turning on little Bethlehem. I'm telling you, it is. The letters pouring in, shells at the telephone calls, people asking for you. Let's get in the spirit as John was on the Lord's day. Can you turn her loose tonight? Can you let go tonight? Can you cut her loose the boundaries? Can you worship the Lord in spirit tonight? There's the bridge or the river. Someday gonna see his sweet face. With him gonna bide there forever. Thank God. I'm gonna sing it one more time. Thank God. There's a bridge or the river. Someday gonna see his sweet face.